Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
On Tuesday, Facebook announced that it had removed 32 pages and accounts from Facebook and Instagram because they proved to be coordinated political influence campaigns designed to disrupt our political system. It's the clearest example yet of the question many people have been asking in the lead up to the midterm elections. What exactly is Facebook doing to prevent a repeat of 2016? And more importantly, is it really enough? Izzy Lipowski is a senior writer for Wired, and she joins me today to discuss what we know so far about this coordinated behavior. Izzy, thanks for being back on the show.
Thanks for having me.
You're going to become a regular here.
I hope so.
So Facebook says they took 32 pages and accounts that they call bad actors down. Can we start with what is a bad actor, according to Facebook, and what are the parameters for Instagram and Facebook when it comes to these types of accounts?
So there are a lot of definitions of bad actor at Facebook and Instagram. In this case, they're talking about fake accounts. By Facebook's rules, all fake accounts are a no-go, and especially if those fake accounts are working together, because after what we saw in 2016 with the Internet Research Agency, these were a lot of fake accounts that seemed independent of one another, but that they, through various digital forensic clues, determined were working together in a coordinated way. So that's what they're talking about here. They call it inauthentic coordinated activity, and that is prohibited on Facebook, and that's what they're trying to root out.
So we took a look at some of the examples that Facebook provided, and I sort of felt like, okay, these don't seem that bad. And again, that's just an opinion there. But is this more of a PR move, or is this a real indicator that Facebook has control over the situation?
Well, I think what's important to note is what they've shown us, the sample content that they've shown the press, is, you know, just the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot more out there. There are, you know, I think 30 events. We only know about two of them that were scheduled by these pages. So I think as more comes out, we'll continue to see more divisive content. I think we're already starting to see that. The group affiliated with the Atlantic Council called the Digital Forensics Lab has been working with Facebook on going through all this content. And they released a few ads that Facebook hadn't yet released, and you do see some of the more divisiveness coming out. For instance, there's a page that seems to be devoted to mindfulness. It's called Mindful Being, and Facebook released some pretty innocuous examples of their content. Well, Digital Forensics Research Lab has found that, you know, in between all of that mindfulness content would be memes about, you know, don't trust the news media. And so you see how these groups that seemed otherwise, unrelated to politics, just gently seeding these ideas with their audience. So I think we'll see a lot more of that as we learn more about what happened.
Do we know who's behind a lot of these accounts or where the money's coming from? I feel like Facebook can know what I'm thinking before I'm even thinking it. So are they able to track these folks down?
We don't know just yet. So what we know about in 2016 is that the Internet Research Agency got sloppy. They paid for some of these ads in rubles. They were revealing their IP addresses, which revealed that they were in Russia, even though they were purporting to be Americans. In this case, the accounts were using something called VPN to hide their IP addresses. They were having third parties pay for the ads. So Facebook says that it's a lot more difficult to pick up on these sort of digital breadcrumbs. The few that they have identified so far show that there were some Internet Research Agency accounts associated with this new network of pages. So, for instance, one of the Internet Research Agency accounts was a co-administrator on one of the pages that Facebook has since shut down. So I think they're going to keep looking at those kinds of details for evidence of where this comes from. But on the other hand, they're kind of putting it in the hands of law enforcement. They're working with law enforcement now, which is a good thing. You know, this really should have been happening in the run-up to the 2016 election. But they say that law enforcement has a lot more access to intel that you need to sort this kind of thing out.
And what about you mentioned events, and I think a lot of people think a lot of the content we're talking about are memes and other types of, you know, static content, but there are also fake events. What's the concern about these events, that people will show up and potentially be harmed in some way? Tell us about those.
Sure. So the concern is basically what happened in 2016, which is that the Internet Research Agency coordinated these events to pit Americans against each other. In one case, they organized an event that was sort of pro-Islam alongside an event that was anti-Islam at the same date, the same time, in the same location. They wanted to get Americans out in the street fighting each other. And that is sort of, and I saw this in Congress when they've had these hearings, that's sort of the most visceral reaction people have. Oh my God, it's not just, you know, showing you memes that we can kind of ignore. It's actually putting people out in the streets fighting each other. And, you know, we can fight each other as Americans, but when a foreign government tries to pit us against each other, that's when Congress gets upset. So I think Facebook is trying to that's why they say that they came out with this, even though it's very preliminary. There was an event scheduled for August 10th, and it was anti this Unite the Right rally that's happening in D.C. It was an anti-white supremacy rally, and it was organized by one of these pages. Now, the problem is a lot of, you know, real groups on the left were taking part in that. And they had, you know, tons of RSVPs, thousands of them. And now they have to start from scratch because their event has been suspended. And it's really hard for Facebook to disentangle suspending activity that is banned on the platform while separating out the people who were there authentically.
And it also feels like Facebook is grappling with this idea of being a media company versus just a technology platform, right? If you're a media company, then you have to make sure that you're in charge of the content that's being put out on the page, right? Or on your platform.
Right. Well, Facebook has always tried to walk this line and not very successfully. I think it's coming around in the last 2 years to the fact that they need to do a lot more content moderation. They were walking the party line of, you know, we're an unbiased platform a lot more before we saw what happened in 2016 happen. Now they're hiring a lot more people on their security team. They're creating artificial intelligence to proactively spot content that violates their standards. And so I think they're realizing that, you know, they have to be more responsible for this, for the technology that they've created, whether it's a media company or not. It's having a big influence on our democracy.
And I'm sure we'll be paying very close attention for the midterms as we get closer. Issy Lepowski, senior writer for Wired, thanks so much for joining us again.
Thank you.